Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take newsletter. You can find my my spec newsletter at Turner's Take Market Alert, and for farmers and hedgers, we have Turner's Take Ag Marketing. You can also find me at the web at turnerstake.com. I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading, working with online trading clients, broker-assisted, hedger spec. We do manage futures, pretty much everything in the commodities. So, let's dive into it. Been kind of a slow week. I'm going to start off with the grain markets here. It's just been just a slow bleed lower. We have just seen a lot of farmers having to sell, which has not been fun to watch or to hear about. I definitely feel for them. We've been saying, you know, we could hit a 345 low in Dease corn, as farmers basically have to get rid of old crop, take care of deferred pricing contracts, basis contracts, need to figure out if they want to do another round of storage. And there hasn't been. There's actually been a lot of selling. I mean, a lot of selling. You can make the case the selling that probably should have taken place last year and didn't. Because I, you know, some of the farmers I talked to, they're not just selling this year's old crop, but last year's. So there's just a lot of product coming to the market. We're oversold in the grain markets. You know, 345 into December futures before harvest, or before a bulk of the Midwest harvest anyways. I mean, now they've been harvesting down south, is, you know, as low. It's been on a ton of pressure here. And at some point we'll bounce. But right now, you know, if farmers need to sell and they're raising cash, it's going to put pressure on the market. What has been interesting is the open interest has not increased on this way down. Open interest has actually come off, and come off pretty good. So in that, my mind, it's longs exiting. You don't see new shorts being established. And I'm not surprised, you know, if farmers are basically getting rid of those bushels, anything tied to the futures market would also be coming off. So open interest should be coming down. So I think that's healthy. Probably a long time coming of farmers having to price grain and getting rid of it. And tomorrow's first notice day, so we'll see what happens. You know, tomorrow could be the low. Sometimes when we have situations like this, this is why we have a seasonal low right at the end of August or right in the beginning of September, because of this dynamic in the grain market. So we'll see what happens. Unfortunately, I had a soybean trade on long January short May. It was a little one. And we had a 5 cent stop on that, and that got hit today. Like, real, I mean, if today's the low, it's just gonna drive me nuts. But I still really like it. If anyone's still in it, I might just hop back in tomorrow. It's not a huge risk trade, and I do think that as we get any kind of signs of recovery in the grain markets, I'm happy to get back into the bull spreads again for beans. I just think that USC number was, the yield was too high. You know, the exports are strong. You know, and being long January and short May, you know, get your long exposure to US new crop. And, you know, the May component is about South America. So that spread could set you up for potential issues in the South American crop, plus a smaller US crop, plus good demand in US. So I still like that. We were just too early. And the USDA, when they put out the 49.5, yield kind of didn't do us any favors with that soybean spread. So we had a 5 cent stop. We've been in it for a while. We're out 5 cent loss. That's fine. We'll get back in there. There will be a rally in soybeans at some point. So that's that. I'm also in the. I also had a roll Kansas City Chicago spreads. I like that trade a lot. The grain markets are getting beat up. The funds are long a lot of Kansas City wheat. They really sold that pretty good again. protein is going to be an issue this year. It's going to start with Minneapolis wheat, and then it will trickle on down to Kansas City over Chicago. I'm willing to sit in those and just kind of hang out with them for a while. That's kind of my long-term positions, and I still like them. If you have any questions about where we're getting in and how we're going about that, you can shoot me an email or give me a call. Corn. When I was talking to farmers, some of the things we were doing, we were selling straddles, 370s, 380s, a couple of weeks ago, and we said, you know, maybe we get down to 350, 345 is kind of the end of the range, and we're there. So now these straddles, they're a little bit underwater, not a lot, but the calls aren't worth anything anymore, and we're having people basically opting to buy the calls and just almost turning this position into a short put position. Which I'm kind of comfortable with, you know, if you own from a hedger side, you know, if you had made sales and that were just forced to make sales, this is almost a way to have some long loan ownership into the corn market. I'm okay with that, and I think at some point here we will have to rally, or at least a short covering rally in the grain markets. And, you know, first notice day early September might be a good time for that. So that's how we're playing it on the hedge side. The soybean straddles have actually worked better. Soybeans have held up considerably better than corn. So anyone who was doing the soybean straddles, we talked about selling the calls and selling the puts, the time value has just been coming off while the market's been chopping. So the soybean side has been doing better than the corn. But that's okay with the corn side. I just think... you know, 345 December corn. I don't see us being down here that long. So we should be okay with that. So wheat, we're bullish on still bullish on protein wheat. We're low. Russia had a big crop. Prices are low. We're getting beat up time of the year of where we're seeing some selling, especially on the farmer side. But I'm more optimistic on high protein wheat over low protein wheat. Soybeans, we'll see some pressure coming here, but I think a lot of the trade is thinking that USDA number is too high, and corn has gotten really beat up, which is seeming to be like a value down here. So, I don't know, more bullish and bearish on grains, even though the charts look pretty bad. And that's kind of where we'll stay. Really haven't been writing about it or talking about it a lot. It's just been a steady, slow bleed in corn and wheat, or wheat's been sold. Here's the thing you have to realize about wheat. You know, Russia had a bigger crop than they realized, and now we're trying to find some support there. But it's has not been an exciting 2 weeks for the grain markets. It's really been kind of a hurry up and wait, and, you know, for the farmers to sell whatever old crop or 2 years of old crop they need to sell. And then let's see what's happened here in early September. We'll still have a little pressure on the grain markets just as we're in harvest, but, you know, we could see, you know, if we do a good job of this, if the market as a whole, and I mean out in the country, does a good job of this, just getting rid of some old crop and supplies and flushing that through the system, that is going to be good for the middle to longer term part of the grain market. So that's what it looks like is happening now. In terms of energy, we were bear spread. Crude oil, we took that off. We had been bearish, just fundamentals to begin with, but then, you know, when the unfortunate events happened in Houston, in that part of Texas with all those rains, which, you know, heart goes out to all the people, clients, friends, down there, that's a tough situation. Our crude positions actually got better, so didn't make a whole lot of fanfare out of that. We just kind of pulled profits and we'll move aside and we'll revisit the energy markets on the next rally. But for right now, it's tough to say how far it's going to go down. You know, we're down to points where just based on basic fundamentals, we would be out on these spreads. But the issue is what's going on in Houston has kind of exacerbated the issue. So the spreads are probably going to go down lower. How much lower, I don't know. That's going to be short-lived, just like how this spike in gasoline will eventually be short-lived, too. I know that, you know, anyone who was short gasoline basically had to get forced to get out. That's a big short covering. You see, when you look at the September RBOB gasoline contracts. But what happened was all those refineries down there had a shutdown, and two things happened. price of gasoline goes higher because they're not refining the gasoline, and the price of crude actually went lower because those refineries can't go out and buy crude and process it. So some people were confused, like, why was crude going down and gasoline going higher due to was the storm in Texas. And that really is the reason why. When the refineries can't operate, they can't buy crude. So that's a negative bearish effect on demand. But they can't produce gasoline, even though demand's going to be steady elsewhere in the country. So the gasoline prices go up. And that's we really saw that gasoline versus crude spread to come in. I don't like talking about trading around natural disasters and stuff like that. So I'm not going to publish it in the newsletter or anything like that. But you know, the only thing I'll say is you would expect, as this gets sorted out, gasoline to come in and crude oil to come up in relative value. And we'll just leave it at that. So for livestock, it just seems like the hogs keep on getting sold down here. Cash prices are now in the 70s. We're a couple of months in the 90s. Pork bellies have fallen apart. So you would think we'd continue to see pressure in the hog market. As far as cattle goes, we still think cattle can go lower. My big concern is the feeder cattle contracts. If you take a look at feeder cattle, we break through these support lines, we're gonna, you know, we'll probably go lower, maybe $5 to $10 lower in feeders. There are some analysts talking out now. October cattle could trade at 100 or even lower. Just based on all the weights and the animals coming through the system now. That'll be interesting to see if that does happen. I'm still kind of reserved about it, but there's been talk about it. So right now we're looking, as a bearish signs, it looks like, even for the livestock industry too. So that's where we are going down the road. I'm going to be looking for spots to get long the grain markets at some point here. Eventually, the selling will stop, and we'll see a relief rally. We'll also take a look, keep an eye on crude oil. I like selling the rallies when we get up close to 50. I like buying them when we get close to 40. It's been working for us all year. We'll continue to do that. As people have been asking me about the stock market, I don't know. It's not my specialty, and I always find it's anyone's guess. I'll tell you the same thing I tell a lot of traders around here. Most corrections eventually get bought. You know, the stock market has a tendency over time to go higher. I don't like shorting it. If you're going to short it, buy puts. If you got a big account and you can, you know, hold on, you know, for a while and weather the storm, so to say, you know, you get a big correction, buy an EMA in the S&P. It's not for everyone to trade that way, but unless you get some kind of systemic risk, you can usually hold on to it and wait for the upturn. So that's kind of the way we usually play those markets. The currencies, what's really been interesting is the dollar keeps on going down and the euro keeps on going up. A lot of traders been wanting to play that momentum. I can't blame them. The Canadian dollar has been weak here too, and maybe that has to do with the grain prices and the crude prices coming down. It trading as a basically a commodity currency again, so that's been interesting. So we'll keep an eye on these things. We're coming at the end of the summer. Things died, you know, are usually pretty dead the last 2 weeks of summer. You get past Labor Day, things liven up a lot. So we'll be more active with the podcasts and the newsletter. But be honest with you, the past week or two is just, you know, either people are finishing up vacations or kids are going back to school, or the markets are just choppy. The grain markets are nothing to write home about. Just been a slow bleed lower. And we'll be looking for better times in September. So if you need anything, let me know. Otherwise, we'll be coming back after Labor Day. Going back to two podcasts a week and more active with the newsletter. And we'll be back come out of summer and into fall. So everyone have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.